Blog Talk Radio. Breaking news.
Ushering in a new era. This is the War of the Words.
All right, you know what time it is. You heard the explosion. It's the only explosion you run to and not away from that I know of. War of the Words, man, number 106. Going to have the champ, lightweight Don, Kobe Wall, on here in just a moment. Jeanette, how are you doing?
I'm pretty good.
Are you doing pretty good?
I'm doing pretty good.
You're in this weird middle transition where you're putting your makeup on, but you're not dressed. So, like, your face looks normal, but then you're wearing funny clothes. you're going out from the neck up.
Yeah, I'm still actually in the process of putting my face on. So, you know, I'm a multitasker, multicolored multitasker.
Still getting ready at 3:30.
That's right.
It's fantastic. All right, man, on the show today, we have Kobe Wall, man, one of the most dominant fighters. He's my co-commentator at the fights. Also, many times on the show, a knockout artist and submission specialist, might I say. Maybe he's had maybe 8 or 9 wins via submission. I know a lot of people talking about people going to sleep, but I know I've actually seen a picture of Kobe Wall standing over Kaven Sunkins when he knocked him out with a head kick. And that dude literally looked like he was on his side asleep.
Taking a nap.
Like how I sleep before we spoon.
Oh.
Yeah, no offense to Kaven. Yes. Awesome fighter, both guys. But just saying. And Bart Weeks, as we know, we had on the show, yesterday. Awesome. Tons of respect in this fight, but a lot to be said. I like how these guys are sort of like, with all due respect, I'm going to punch you in the freaking face.
I know. You're so nice about it.
Yeah, but it's like a dual-edged niceness. It's like I'm being nice because I have respect for you and you're my, you know, we're friends and all, but understand. That's like an interesting thing about fighting. Like, I don't know if I had that dynamic with any of my friends. Like, hey, so it's all good. We're buddies, but I will punch you in the face to prove that I'm superior. And I'll damn sure do it in front of a group. That's pretty awesome, man, that they are, you know, those guys are able to do that.
It is awesome.
I think it says a lot about the caliber of people that they are, that they cannot, you know, fall down there. But nonetheless, the excitement and the hype is quite superior. We basically have a champion versus champion fight headlining
I'm excited and yet saddened because I can't be there. So everyone in the crowd, take lovely videos to post on Facebook so I can live vicariously through you.
Yeah, we will. I like dye my hair blue like an honor.
Please don't.
Anyway, man, 13-1. Kobe Wall, he has a ton of experience inside and outside of conflicts, held more titles than just this one. He's only like 11 or 12% off from having a 100% finish rate. Let's see. He also won the 2014 Fighter of the Year award. He's like literally as much as you could like ask for in any opponent. So I'm going to go ahead and bring him out. I'm done talking about him. I'm going to let him talk about him. He's good at it. Kobe, what's up, bro?
What's up?
What are you doing?
Just eating a little good mood food.
Good mood food. That's some food that makes you smile. Is that what you're eating?
Yeah, right. So I wanted to clear some things up. First, I'm 9% away from 100% finishing rate. Out of all the 12 wins I have, I've only not finished one person. I went to a decision. But anyways, we can keep going now that I straightened that out.
Right. Well, doesn't the loss also count as not a non-finish? That's
I guess
two.
You could say
that's
that.
Two.
All right, you're right. So it's 11%.
Listen, bro, it's closer to 100 than you freaking think.
You just set
I love that, though, man. It's so true, man. It's like it's super high. You really are, like, you know, you're a great friend of mine, but in all business talk, you are one of the most dominant and a fighter that brings the finish almost every single freaking time, including the last time we saw you, where you took on Lamar Brown, another one of these fights where people seem to be were on both sides about very heavily. Was it another one of these awesome well-matched fights that you keep getting yourself into as you continue to grow, man? Like, but yes. So, Conflict 28, man, how's it? We're getting close on fight week, dude. You know, I know you haven't been on the show, giving you time to hone in on them skills. So, what's up with you?
Man, I'm ready to fight, man. You know how it is. I don't, you know, we're amateurs, so I don't really have to go out and do all this talking and all that. And, you know, I know Bart and Chris, they do a lot of talking, and that's fine. I'm not mad about it. I just don't do it. I just don't do it myself, you know. I'm just going to go fight. But, you know, they're hyping the fight up. A lot of people's interested. So I can see how it's one of those, oh, my God, everybody's got to go. And that's fine. That's great. That is awesome. I've only got one job to do. My job ain't talking. My job ain't doing none of that. My job is to fight, and I'm going to go do my job. You know, I ain't got to sit here and say, well, I'm going to knock Bart out, and he's in trouble and all this other crap. It's not about that to me, you know. And that's their game, and I understand that, and they're cool. And I'm cool with it. You know, they can say all they want to say. It doesn't hurt my feelings at all. You know, I like Bart, and I like Chris. I've hung out with them. Like Chris said on his interview, you know, I wouldn't say we're close friends, but we are friends. We look out for each other when we're not, you know, when we're not fighting each other or each other's teams. And it's going to be a good fight. You know, it's five rounds. It's going to be a fucking war. And, you know, I'm prepared. I'm ready to die, man. And I don't mean, like, work hard, die. Ooh, man, that fight was a killer. I mean fucking die. Like, die. Like, put a gun to my fucking head, and I'm going to look at you and say, go ahead, motherfucker. Like, I'm ready to die. So, whatever, let's fight. Fight, die, don't matter. Let's do it.
I thought the food you were eating was supposed to make you feel good. I like this. You're eating like barbarian salad, and I'm feeling it, Kobe. I'm totally feeling it. I like that. I know you personally, man, and I know you are that guy. And you know, I like that. And you know what? Just listening to you talk, man, I have to ask this question. And you know how I get down, so I'm going to ask. When preparing for this fight and preparing for your last fight, mentally, who did you feel a bigger challenge from in preparation, or are they all the same?
Hey, I mean, nothing against Lamar, nothing against, you know, Kaven or Kyle or any of the 12 or 13 guys I've ever fought. But it's a fight every time. Every time when I step in the cage, the last thing I ask myself before I step in that cage is, are you ready to die tonight, Kobe? And the answer is always, yeah, I'm ready to die, motherfucker. Let's do this. And it doesn't matter who it is, how many there is. There can be three of them motherfuckers over there. I don't care. I'm ready to die. When I touch that mat and that door shuts behind me, I'm ready to give my life for what I believe in. I'm ready to give my life for this. I've already given up so much in my life just to get punched in the face every day. I'm ready to die. So it's not that I had to mentally prepare any harder for Bart because, you know, they're saying they're going to knock me out, or I had to prepare any mentally harder for Lamar because he was undefeated and, you know, training at one of the best gyms in the country. To me, that's whatever. It's the same for me. One, three guys, it don't matter. I'm ready to fucking die.
I like that, man. And, you know, I think that's been a theme through all of your fights. I mean, you always seem to come out and really kind of take charge of that. And even in situations where we see maybe somebody in a temporary point of that, because that's all we can really say, of having the upper hand, you do express that exact thing. You know, it's not just words. We've seen it a couple of times. And you always, you know, last time, just, you know, from being in the crowd and being in the media side of things like I am, and even you exposed to it, I mean, there were definitely people that thought that Lamar Brown was going to, like, smash you completely. Like, just crush you out of existence.
You know, I've heard this so much. Everybody underestimates Kobe. Oh, Lamar Brown's going to smash him. And can y'all believe he's fighting Kaven? You know, a different weight class? Blah, 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 blah. That's all I hear, some fucking blah. And when I went to fight Lamar, one of the promoters, I'm not going to say whose name, but one of the promoters came to me and says, you know what, ma'am, I'm tired of everybody underestimating you. He said, would you go in there and show what you can do? And then here recently, another person came to me and was like, dude, why is everybody underestimating you? Do they not see the record? Do they not see the people you're fighting? And I was like, you know, I don't know, and I really don't give a shit. I'm here to fight. I got a job to do. I'm going to go do my damn job.
I like that. All work, man. Rolling up them damn sleeves and putting it to it. And that's what Kobe does, man.
I've been getting my ass beat daily since I was a baby. I grew up with three older brothers that beat the shit out of me every single day. I grew up on a farm getting my ass kicked daily, and they did it for fun. And that was three of them. So if I'm faced against just one guy across the cage, it's not, you know, if you put three of them in there, I might be like, you know what, it's kind of like old times, but what the hell, let's do it. But just one guy, I mean, just bring a gun and fucking put it in my head and kill me. You might as well, I mean.
No, here's the thing that's interesting that I think is very interesting about this particular matchup is that, at least for me on the media side of things, I'm really excited because we have two guys who pretty much finish all of their fights. I mean, it seems like this doesn't seem like the kind of fight to me that goes all the way to the decision. I mean, when you look at this, what are your thoughts as far as that department, if you've had them?
I mean, we're going to fucking fight, whether it goes to a decision or somebody gets knocked out, whether I get knocked out, somebody gets put to sleep, somebody gets put in a submission, whatever the fuck's going to happen is going to happen. You know, the man upstairs knows, but I don't think he's going to tell anybody anytime soon. And, you know, almost every fight of mine, my third fight went to a decision. Since my third fight that went to a decision, I finished every single guy. Everyone. It may have took me two rounds. May have happened early in the first. I finished every guy.
I think
Bart's had four. He's 4-2, 5-2, something like that. He's had three or four finishes, and I think he went to at least one or two decisions. So, yeah, he's out to finish people too. So if you looked at it on paper, yeah, these two guys finish fights. They're here to finish a fight. So,
and that's what I feel like
happen,
is going down.
Most likely somebody's going to get finished, but I don't fucking know. I'm not going to sit here and say what's going to happen. Excuse me, that was burps.
Oh, it's all good. I feel good food, man. You got to get that good mood food in. I need to have some of what the hell you on.
You want to know what I'm on?
I need to have some of that. I see that. You over there. Are you working today? Are you on your lunch or are you off? What you doing?
Yeah, I'm working. I work every fucking day, man.
You do?
There ain't no
problem. I know, man. You're going hard. Even when you're not fighting, you're still at the freaking show talking on the microphone with me and then pretending like you're going to go in the cage and help me with interviews and then not. We have a great relationship.
Dude, you're way better at them interviews than I am. I'm better at just getting the win and talking about it rather than getting up there and asking them questions and analyzing the fight so in detail that you're good at that. I'm not so good.
Oh, man. No, come on now. But you look so much better than me when it comes to them refined threads.
Hey, cousin, I can look fly. I can do that.
hey, cuz, hold on. This blazer, though.
Dude, you look sick.
I'm glad you approved. I brought that hotness. I had to, man. I figured, you know what, this is the smallest venue conflict does. Let me break out my $1,000 threads.
Bro, I'm telling you, you look good. I liked it.
Yeah.
You had me beat.
You know,
you were in a full attire. I wasn't.
Yo, you were still rocking, though, and you came in that boss truck. And you know what something you might should do, man? You should, like, maybe you should wear a blazer out with sponsors all over them for your fights. It'd be badass.
It would be badass, but see, then that's going to make me the persona that I'm there for looking good. And I, to be honest with you, I don't give a fuck how I look come fight night. I can look like a damn.
Yeah, usually fight night is the worst time ever. Because we know the rest of the time that's a straight lie. You always try so hard to be beautiful. But on fight night, you got that cowlick up and your beard all crazy.
Yeah, like fight night, I want to look like a fucking caveman. I want to look like something that where the fuck they pull that sumbitch out of?
You're like, wait a minute, is this the same Kobe? Like, yes, I've been training inside of a cave for the last 2 weeks, bitches.
Been punching fucking bricks and stone walls and shit.
Hell yeah, don't come off the island like Castaway, ready to do work. Oh, that's badass, man. Speaking of badass, I wanted to give you a second. I just saw the Emperor's, might I say that on the air, new shirt. And they are badass, man. And I wanted to ask you a little bit about those shirts that we saw, man, because those were cool as hell. And I'm like super excited to wear it, that free one I'm getting.
Yeah, man. I can definitely line some things up. Yeah, got a new deal with Source and Rip, Hector, and them. Did some good work with the shirts and shorts and banners and all. Look great. Got all my sponsors on there. Took care of me there. Which, by the way, everybody listening, shirts are on sale for pre-order for the fights. I believe they're like $20, $22, something like that. So I like them, man. I decided to change it up a little bit. If you ever noticed, I usually fight in dark colors, dark shorts, grays, blacks, and these are white. Now, I will ask you, Eric, why would I want to fight in white shorts and a white T-shirt?
I mean, I got two reasons. One is the immediate one to me is that it seems like a canvas for blood.
Yes.
That's the first one. Like,
that
shit's going to
get fucking dirty.
Yes. Like, you can see the battle. Like, that was my first immediate freaking thought. I was like, oh, yeah. Time to collect. I like that.
Yeah. I'm going to put some of my blood on there. I know some of mine's going on there. I bleed pretty easy anyway, so I know some of my blood's going to go on there.
That's badass, dude. It just makes it twice as badass when you add on, like, all the Knight logos and stuff and, like, going to war and willing to die for all the stuff. Like, it's going on. Like, and now I feel like it's like Kobe Wall. Like, and what happens when you run into a wall? You don't go no further.
I don't know. I don't know.
I guess we're going to find out May 16th, man. And speaking of man, we're basically here at Fight Week. So I know that for a lot of fighters, this is a time where you're like couldn't wait and everybody gets the grumpiest. How do you handle like fight week? How's fight week for you typically?
To be honest with you, man, not trying to say that I'm the biggest and the best and the baddest, and I've been doing this longer than anybody else, but I've got a lot of experience. So for me, it's a little more normal, a little more in tune with the way I do everyday life. But my weight's good. I cut usually the same amount of weight every time. I've gotten used to it. I know how to do it. I know how to do it correctly. I know how to cut the weight I need to cut to get to the weight and still perform max potential and still be bigger. And that's obviously the goal for this fight. But everything feels the same. It feels good. I'm a little grumpier for a lot of reasons that I'm not going to talk about. But, you know, usually for the most part, it's fairly easy. It's okay. It's good. It's a good cut. It's a good, you know, week. Sierra, my girlfriend, takes care of me. She literally handles any and everything I need or want. So when it comes to, you know, cooking food and doing all that good stuff, she takes care of me. That keeps me a little relaxed, but I don't know how to explain it. It's a struggle. It's a struggle that I invite. My life has never really been easy or given to me anyways, but it's just another part of the grind. It's another part of the struggle, you know, just every day in the life and times, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, man. Like, listen, I've been interviewing hundreds and hundreds of fighters for quite a while now, and, you know, fight week for fighters, they become like pregnant women. Like, they're like, I need a kiwi. I know it's 3:38 in the morning, but you got to go out and get me a kiwi right now or I'm going to kill someone.
Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, when I first started a long time ago and I used to cut a lot of weight, for shit, actually, I used to cut like 10 pounds and I was grumpy as fuck and I wanted to kill people. That's how I acted. I was a mean son of a bitch. I'm going to tell you, I was a mean, hateful person. And I'm still pretty mean and hateful, but just not quite as bad. And now I can cut, you know,
I can cut 20, 25, 30 pounds. And not that it's easy. It's not like, you know, it's not like it just comes off super easy. But I've just learned to control things. I've learned to, you know, harness all that pissed off energy and turn it into something that's useful, you know. You can go out and you can fight mad as you want, as long as you want, but it's not going to get you anywhere. I mean, I just go in, I look at the guy, and I'm just like, you know, I'm ready to die. If you ain't ready to die, don't get in here because I'm ready to fucking die. So let's fight. And I just stay calm and I work the fight. I do what I'm supposed to do, figure out what I need to figure out pretty early, and I get down. That's how I fight.
You know, with that, with the kind of experience that you have talking about those fights, an interesting question popped into my mind, and that is that, you know, the more comfortable you get with fighting in live fire scenarios, the more relaxed you are to, I guess, dip into your bag, into the arsenal, so to speak. As these fights go by for you, have you noticed your ability to be more, I guess, I don't want to say normal, but I guess that you're able to see the fight a little more slowly, or just, I don't know quite the question I'm trying to get at, but I guess, are you free from all the things that seem to bind up fighters that come with getting overwhelmed somewhat about there being a fight, or how normal day-to-day people get when a typical fight breaks out, like in a public forum?
Yeah, I understand your question. I see where you're going. Yeah, and it does. I fought a lot, you know, and street fighting, and, you know, we used to fight some when I played soccer, and, you know, Bart talked about fighting at the hockey and all. All of those are different. They're different emotions. They're different scenarios. They're different times. So it's all different. When it comes to fighting in the cage, I have had, in my personal opinion and a lot of people's opinions, more experience than 90% of amateurs in the U.S. Most amateurs go pro after 5, 6, 7, 8 fights. You know, we're pushing like 13, 14 here. So I had a lot of experience, and I do notice, and I've really noticed these last probably 5, but everything does seem to slow down. Everything seems to slow down. I pick up stuff a lot faster. When I fought Kaven, you weren't there for that fight, but I know you've probably seen it. Kaven come out banging. He wanted to come out and bang. And I stuck to the game plan. I did what I was supposed to do for that specific fight. And the pieces started lining up. The puzzle started coming together. And, you know, I threw an inside leg kick. He dropped his hand a little bit, and the light switch immediately went off. It was like, boop. And as soon as the light switch went off, I threw another one. I was going to try to throw it a little higher on the hip, a little closer to, I guess you could say, his groin. And I picked it up just a hair from his knee. His hand dropped even further, and it was like, you know, it was like, ding, 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 10 points, let's do it. I took a step back, slung it, and it landed like a dream, and it came through quickly. It was like, kick, up, I see that. If he does it again, I'm going to do it. Kick, up, it's game over. I got you. Bam. You know what I mean? So it does seem to come through a lot faster. That fight was a little more action-paced, a little more action-packed. Like I said, he wanted to come out and bang, which is Kaven's style, and he's actually pretty good at it. Yeah.
Well, all right. Before Eric gets a chance to jump in and talk some more, I'm going to ask a question. So, how do you feel about fighting in Hardeeville at the Music Bowl?
First off, I'd like to not ask who's speaking.
This is Jeanette. Yeah, I've been filling in for you while you're taking your sabbatical for fighting.
Aww. I feel good. You know, I've been to Hardeeville once already. Me and Eric did some commentating there. I can't remember who the main event was, but that was when, I believe, Johnny Williams, which is my teammate at Champions Training Center, a killer who was coming to bring the gold back to Savannah, might I add. He fought Zach Cooper, which was an old teammate of mine. We did that fight there, so I've been there once. It's a cool venue. It's a real kind of tight-spaced kind of atmosphere. So, you know, being the main event that night, it's going to be it's going to be fun. It's going to be one of those kind of close and, you know, close and personal kind of fights in the cage and outside.
Oh, man, which is going to make the explosive factor so much more. And you brought up Johnny, and I definitely wanted to ask you this, man. What's your opinion on the co-main event? You know, I know you don't want to give any secrets away about your fight and your approach necessarily, but What do you think about Johnny's fight coming up on the same night, co-main event just before yours? And by the way, before you answer, I just want to let everybody know he will be on the show. I think he's tomorrow's guest, if I'm not mistaken. But yeah, what do you think about that fight, Teague versus Williams? Go.
You know, it was unfortunate that Mark Trader had an injury, but injuries happen. Obviously, I've been hurt a few times. Bart had to pull out against Eddie. Eddie obviously had to pull out against me this time. So injuries are part of this game. It's not how you train.
No doubt.
It's not who you are. You know, injuries, that's just going to happen, man. We're not fucking playing patty cake. So injury is going to happen. So it's unfortunate that Mark didn't get to take the fight. But I know he'll be up next. But for this specific fight, Paul Teague is coming off some pretty good wins. I know he's really his stand-up style is very different, and that makes him somewhat of a challenge, or at least in my eyes, the way I see the fight, it seems kind of challenging fighting guys like that. But Johnny is a beast, man. Johnny's, you know, to be honest with you, Johnny has been training with us at GSU, and he's been doing a lot of his camp at Champions Training Center, and he trains with some of the best guys in the Southeast U.S. I mean, I don't even have to sit here and name them. They know who they are. Champions Training Center got named because of the people training there and the people that own it, you know, or, you know, Masin that owns it. So Johnny's going to come out and he's going to do exactly what he's supposed to do. You know, he's going to come out and, you know, like I said, you'll see.
No, that's a favorite part about my job is that I get to see the co-main. I get to see the first fight, the last fight, the one in the middle, the one in the parking lot. Should I be commentating after the event? You know me. So I'm excited, man. I'm super excited. And I believe, you're talking about Mark, I believe, unless I'm mistaken, he will be filling in for you at the commentator table. So that'll be a pretty cool angle.
Hell yeah. Good, good. That's good to hear. You know, I like Mark. He's a cool kid. I like Paul. To be honest with you, I like Bart and Chris and every fucking body. There's not really anybody I don't like
in
the fight game. But like I said, it was unfortunate. You know, I get to see him, and I'm glad he's getting to commentate and fill in for that. But the Johnny Williams and Paul Teague fight is going to be it's going to be interesting. And then I'm assuming Mark is going to come and come back to get his shot. And that's going to be a good fight. Who knows? You know, I don't know what Johnny's plans are after this fight. We haven't really discussed that. We've just been training, so it'll be an interesting fight for sure. It'll be one of a few interesting fights, to be honest with you. There's a bunch of fights on that card that you don't know what's gonna happen.
This card and it has a lot of awesome sleeper fights on it. I mean, a bunch of them. I think anybody who's heading out to the Music Vault is in for a badass night of MMA, no doubt, topped off by two title fights that are awesome and have lots of implications for the future. Like you said, you know, Mark Trader's in the mix, Eddie's in the mix, Robbie Cullum's in the mix. You've got a bunch of guys out there who are in that place of either coming up to be title challengers, and interestingly enough, I think that we are getting to a point where a decent bit of our AMI champs are right at that period where they're going to be probably going pro soon. It seems like there's kind of a wave of that because of the success in those areas. At least to me, it seems like that is upon us where we're going to have, you know, 2-3 guys who are AMI champions, relinquish titles maybe, something like that. I don't know. But that seems to be lightly in the air. Not that I know anything specific. I'm just talking from my general, you know, thoughts of looking around. So I think it's going to not this good fight, good year for conflict so far, no doubt. I mean, of course, besides this badass title fight that you have coming up with the Iron Man, you also do, like we talked about, a whole bunch. You're very exposed to these steps that conflict has taken really since last year to blowing the hell up, just to be frank.
Yeah. Jared is Jared's a buddy of mine, and I do a lot of the video editing. And, you know, to be honest with you, he shows me absolutely no favoritism. It's probably the opposite. He probably shows, well, you know, what's the opposite of favoritism? I don't know what that word is, but
It's like he always goes out. He always goes out and is like, who has a chance? Huh? I gotta find that guy. You don't ever get any like, well, here you go, man. Here's something to keep you fresh till this next threat. It's like, nah, we gotta always make sure.
Yeah, always make sure. Who can beat up Kobe? That guy. All right, let's do it. What about this guy? He's a lot bigger than Kobe. Hey, Kobe, fight a whole weight class higher 2 weeks after you just fought at 55. You probably don't even weigh, what, about 60 now? But I want you to fight at 170 against this big old motherfucker and hits like a damn freight train. Let's just do that. Okay, sure, Jared. Thanks, buddy.
Yeah, good guy. What's cool about that is the result is that the legitimacy of the matches that Conflict puts on through that very speech that we just gave, you can see that, and that's pretty much the same for everybody. You know, I quite enjoy that part about, at least about Conflict and when I see it in other promotion. I love that.
Yeah, Jared doesn't show anybody any favoritism. That's not his. That's not why he's here. He's here to put on good fights and put on a good name for Conflict, and that's what he does. You know, to be honest with you, me and Jared's been friends for a long time. I actually fought on the very, very, very first card Jared ever put on. I believe I was even the first actual fight. So I've known Jared for a long time, and he's never showed me any favoritism in the ring, none whatsoever. And I don't think he does anybody that way. You know, he wants guys to go out and challenge themselves. And if this is really what you want to do, if you really want to fight and make it a dream, a goal in life, whatever, he's the guy that can make it happen. But you got to work hard. It's not something that's going to be given to you.
I love it. Kobe, I got a challenge for you, man. I've been doing something. Yeah, I've been doing something lately. And I'm going to challenge you with it, and you can accept it or you cannot.
It's your turn.
See, Jeanette already knows. As you know, the show has been extended to an hour, and we've had some good things popping off here at War of the Words that we've all been able to enjoy. And one of those is doing these super sweet commercials. Now, you're the Conflict champ. We've been doing commercials, you know, like Sore Summer commercials, things like that. Been really, really good. Mm-hmm. Delicious things are happening. Here's what's been going on. I want to challenge you to do a commercial about Conflict 28 and why these people should be there. And I'm gonna play you some sweet commercial music in the background. Can you do? You think you can do that?
Yeah, I'm gonna have.
What'd you say?
Hold on, let me get my phone back. I think I hung up. Are you there?
Yeah.
All right, sorry. I don't know what happened. My phone just started making noise.
I think you got this.
Yeah, I'm going to have to go into a different room to do this. So you're going to have to give me just a moment, sir.
I like how you have to sneak around work to break out the beast within.
I am going to make a commercial.
Yeah, I'm going to play some background music for you. You're going to hear it come on, and you're going to tell these people why they need to be at Conflict 28. And when you stop, I'll turn the music off. Impromptu stuff. That's why we do it like this.
I don't really impromptu.
Hell yeah. You ready to do this?
Sure, let's do it.
Let's get it on. Here it is. Conflict 28 commercial from the champ, Kobe Wall.
Ladies and gentlemen, have you ever dreamed of going to a place where blood is splattered all over the air, where people punch themselves and each other repeatedly? If so, you want to get yourself to Hardeeville, South Carolina, May 16th, 2015 at 6 p.m. Why? Because there are going to be tons of guys and a few girls punching each other repeatedly just for fun. Two titles on the line that night, 145, Johnny Williams versus Paul Teague, and the main event, yours truly, Kobe Wall, defending the belt against Bart the Iron Man. We get your tickets now, ladies and gentlemen. Get them now.
Yo, son.
did so much better
down,
than I
bitches.
Damn. Killing it live. That was beautiful, dude. I'm going to save that and just replay it on every show between now and then.
Yes.
Yeah, that was pretty good. We need to replay that.
That was beautiful, dog. I see why you went to another room, because you were really serious. You couldn't have thrown down like that near the water cooler with everybody standing there.
I couldn't have thrown down that. Nowhere else.
You're like, listen, I got to take a smoke break. Like, hope you don't smoke. Shut up! I need to smoke now. That's awesome, man. That was beautiful. That was beautiful, dude. Congrats. You totally passed the freaking test. As always, Kobe, you know how we do on freaking War of the Words. I'm going to do two things, man, while we got the time left. Two things. One, it's been a while. You already know what the first one is, and that is the brick in the wall. We're going to go ahead and get this in. I want to hear Conflict 28. I want to hear Conflict 28, Kobe Wall versus Bart Weeks, breaking the wall. Let's get it.
Now?
Right this second. You're already late.
I'm already late. Well, you got to ask a question first. I can't put a brick in the wall without you asking a question.
I like that. Okay, the question is for this episode's brick in the wall is Kobe Wall versus Bart Weeks. Why should someone buy a ticket to see this?
I got to get my mojo back on. Why should somebody buy a ticket? You know, it's going to be a good fight. It's two of the top guys in the Southeast U.S. Fighting for a whole lot more than just a red belt that's got some gold on it. Obviously, there's a lot of talk in the air on what he's capable of. There's a lot of people seeing my fights and knowing what I'm capable of. So, you know, it's going to be a good fight. You know, there's a lot of people in the Southeast U.S. that love MMA. They love the sport. They love what it's about. And they're going to show up because they want to see good fights. They want to see people going out and representing the sport the way it should be. And if that's what you like and that's what you want, if that's what you want, this is going to be an event to come to. Why? Because there's great fights. It's going to be action-packed. And you're going to have a lot of people that are there promoting the sport, doing what, you know, we know and love. So that's why.
This boy is on fire. You got to miss more shows. And then I have you on like two times a week and you just murder it. I think that good mood food is doing you righteously. I've got to get some of that. You got to email me the recipe of that shit right there. I got to have some of that. All right. As you know, Kobe, man, long-time co-host of the show, on sabbatical to get right for this fight. You know how we get down. I'd love to take a moment for you to thank and spank any sponsors, people that help you get ready, any badass video games you playing, or maybe a comic book you read that's helping you stay in the gym for the win. Let's hear it.
You know, I got to thank, first and foremost, my parents and Sierra for always taking me. They do a lot for me to keep me in the game. I have a tremendous, a tremendous outpouring of support from friends, family, businesses, sponsors, just to name a few, Al Chapman at Nat's Landing, Fuzzy's Taco Shop here in Statesboro, Georgia, Twin City Precision Metals, Alex Mosley, Russ Cassidy at Down to Earth Landscaping here in Statesboro. Then just to name a few that are not here in Statesboro, Champions Training Center, obviously trained there. Masin Corbray is one of the best in the business. Definitely adding to my arsenal. Poor Larry's in Savannah, which is actually where the after party is going to be, supporting me. Palmetto Sports Management, Rehydrate, Alan Lang and family. And, you know, last but not least, Source from Rit. They're taking care of my clothes, taking care of some gear for me. So that's, you know, they're the ones that kind of make the show happen, I guess you could say, because I can't go out there and fight naked. So just
that's
a big thanks to all
of them. That's a shame, unfortunately.
Yeah, for real.
I mean, so, I think we both agree, right? It would be a great fight.
It would be. It'd be interesting for sure.
There'd be a lot less ground game. I have a funny feeling. We get a lot more knockouts if fighters fought naked. Like,
best way to detract from an actual fight.
Everyone taps to the triangle in this scenario. Everybody. Yeah. As soon as I'm there, I'm out of the fight. man, making myself laugh. I'm sorry, Kobe. Listen, brother. I'm so freaking I always say that I'm excited for fights, and I'm not the lying type on the air. No, I'm just kidding. I'm not the type to talk a bunch of shit, you know. And there's genuine excitement and fire in the air about this fight and the rest of the fight. Matter of fact, I just to be honest, there's so much, in fact, about this fight, and because everybody respects both guys and understands how great of we are to have gotten this match, a match like this. Usually, guys, no disrespect to the Southeast or not saying anything about anybody, but a lot of times we don't get to see guys like Lamar Brown or Kobe Wall and Bart Weeks fight one another. Sometimes they end up going in different directions. So to have two guys of this caliber fighting, the fact that Conflict named the show Wall vs. Weeks, I think, said a tremendous amount. It's not something that they do all the time or a lot. So I think that spoke tremendously about what they thought about this fight, and I know what you've seen, as you said, the response in everybody out there about this fight. It's a powerful, powerful match, and I couldn't be seriously any more excited for a Conflict main event than I am for this one. And as always, I think an interesting extra element for me is I know Bart. He's an awesome dude. We've hung out. I'm totally been a big fan of his for a long time. Love watching his fight. I like his people, you know, all that. And you and I work together. So it'd be an interesting dynamic to see these two individuals that I know battle it out in a, like, straight-up Ali Frazier style feeling battle on the AMI scene level. You know what I mean? Like, not trying to blow smoke. It just is what it is. It's true fact. And I think we've touched on that several times in the show. So, man, like, that, you know, I know you don't need the luck. Nobody does in the game who prepares properly. But, you know, that's what I got for you. You know, and I'm ready to see it.
Yeah, it's going to be a good night. To be honest with you, win, lose, or draw, I really don't have anything. I don't really have anything to lose, you know. I've been at the bottom. I've climbed to the top, and I plan on staying here. I've been in the shit. I've been in the mud. I've been in the ditches. I've been anywhere as close to hell as you can get, even almost dying once already. So it doesn't matter. I mean, he can come in and knock me out in 3 seconds. It can be the greatest thing Conflict of the world has ever seen. I'm going to get off my ass. I'm going to walk out of the cage. I'm still going to go home to a great girl, a great family. All my sponsors are here for life as long as I'm doing this. You know, they're always going to be there. You know, if I lose, what have I lost? I would be 12 wins with 2 losses, and I wouldn't have a red and gold belt. That's it. I mean, that's it. That's all I've lost. You know?
No doubt. Interrupt at all, but you know, I think that it's interesting. We were talking earlier, and you mentioned a little bit now about the record, made me think of it. Have you decided or thought about, I don't know how to fucking phrase my own questions today, I don't know what's up. Kobe, have you thought at all about going pro yet, or is that in your plans, or is it a take it one day at a time thing? I mean, does just fighting on the AMI level fit your life? I mean, do you have any plans? I know we haven't ever really touched on that too hard, and I thought it'd be a good question to ask here before we close out the show.
You know, in my personal opinion, a professional in anything, whether you're a professional garbage guy or professional concrete guy or professional salesman, a professional fighter, soccer player, football player, if you're a professional, you're supposed to be the best. That's the way I was raised. That's the way my dad taught me. You know, he told me a long time ago, I don't give a shit what you do, but whatever you do, you be the best. That's all I ask. And, you know, a lot of people thought that Lamar Brown was the best. I heard it for so long. This kid's the best. He's the best. He's unbeatable. He's unstoppable. He trains at the best gym in the you know, Southeast, at, you know, a gym that has, I can't even count on 10 hands how many UFC fighters they have had and do have. You know, he's the best, and I beat him. But I still don't think I'm the best. There's a few people, or a few or more fights, or however, you know, whatever you want to look at it as, there's more things that I need to happen before I can say, hey, I'm the best. I'm going to go and be a professional, and then I'm going to be the best at that. But as an amateur, there are still things that need to happen. I don't think this is a game that you need
to
rush.
That's what you're saying. You feel like there's more work to be done.
Yeah, there's still work to be done. There's things that need to happen. You don't. This isn't a game that you have four fights or three fights or six fights and go pro. And there's a lot of shit
that
I'm still currently learning.
Yeah. No doubt. I agree with that. I think that. Usually when I see stuff like that where people had like two or three fights and then went pro, they're either fighters from the previous era of fighting or was not especially organized, or they probably regret it. I know a lot of people who were like 3-0, and I'm not going to say anybody's names. I'm not trying to be disrespectful at all. It's just a fact of the conversation. Who were maybe say 3-4-0, they go pro, and now they're 3-7, things like that. So, I think that happens a decent amount, that it should be a message that you basically have to know yourself, not just know yourself, but you have to know yourself and your environment to know when you're really ready. And I can respect that tremendously, which seems to be a theme with you, man. You got a lot of that going on, and can't help but appreciate that. May 16th, Conflict 28, it's freaking going down. Kobe, if you got anything else, man, I'd love to hear it.
Much respect to Bart, a lot of respect to his coach, Chris. Just ready to fight, you know. Like I told him, like I told everybody else, you know, I consider him a friend. So, you know, we're going to meet in the middle. We're going to touch gloves. We're going to come out. We're going to hug. We're going to back up. Shit's going to hit the fan, and when it's all over, we're going to hug and you know, go have fun. So it's going to be one of those stylistic matchups, you know, banger versus technical fighter, and the best guy's going to win, whether it's him or me. The best guy's going to win. Everybody's going to know at the end of the night who the best is, plain and simple.
That's it. I like it. And you heard it here on War of the Words, number 106. Just want to give a quick shout out to Tires for Hire, Solomon Cleaning Service, of course, ssfightstore.com. Make sure to type that into the box at the top. When you're on Facebook, you can hit that at Soar Summer at Fight Store. Jeanette, bringing you back in.
Man.
Great show.
Indeed.
Kobe seems super, super, both guys. You know, we had Bart on yesterday, calm, really prepared. Him and his coach, very confident, and a lot of respect shown between both guys. Kobe comes on, same thing. And, you know, whereas Bart gave him more of a sort of fire, Kobe had this very, to me, he had this sort of internal, he was talking about willing to die for it. You know, it's sort of that Spartan kind of feeling like, this is going to be badass.
I agree. He's going to take it there.
Both guys, I really do feel like, you know, of course, I work for Conflict, so it's part of my job to say that, hey, don't miss the fights this weekend, stuff like that.
Well, I don't, and I'm very saddened by the fact that I won't be there. So.
There you go. That's all you need to know right there. Proof. Positive. I almost said poop positive. That'd be horrible.
Terrible.
I'd hate to get that result back.
No.
I'd be like, dang. Shit.
I can't imagine a time when it would be good.
No. Anyway, unless it was a test of what hit the fan at Conflict 28 on May 16th.
Of course.
In that case, it'd be perfectly great. So if you want to see the shit and blood and things that otherwise would be terrible to have hitting any sort of spinning device, get your ass to Hardeeville in South Carolina, just over the Georgia border, which makes it sound like another state, or another country, rather, another state. Oh my God. Terrible. I'm so stumbly today on the show. I have no idea why. At the Music Vault, Fight Club series continues. It's the fourth or fifth one we've done there. May 16th, it is going down, man, so make sure to be there. Co-main event is phenomenal. Paul Teague versus Johnny Williams, 145 title on the line as well. And like Jeanette said, so everybody who is going to be there, make sure to tag her up in all your pictures. And you can also post them at War of the Words, which you can find on Facebook by typing in at the top. It'll pop up when you see the coolness and it's punching you relentlessly in the face.
You'll
like
know
this
you're there.
Event. You, yeah, exactly. You will know you are present, and then the face of the one true radio show. So, man, guys, I appreciate you guys coming in. I did not get a chance because I was so busy and so excited for the show, paralyzed with excitement, even, that stiffened, as it would be.
Stiffened. Stiffened by excitement.
Yes, I was like that. They can't see it, but you feel that. You know. It's like seeing a bear and realizing it wasn't, and it was just a dog. Very excited and frozen as thus such. To put up some new music, so I didn't get a chance to, but I know a lot of you guys out there are bumping this at work or in the car, stuff like that. So we played the song in the last show, didn't get a chance to upload Mech's new stuff or the I'm a Superhero, which we will do on the next show. So I'm going to still hit you with this sweet track, and somebody eventually is going to come out to this in a fight song, but you know it is the man, J. Cole, who's technically I'm allowed to play because he's from the Dirty, number 106.
Now I was dreaming about a deal at the age of 13. I was fiending for the meals, I ain't talking Burger King. Some of my niggas in the bill, all they did was surfing. Fuck scales, I had skills all day rehearsing. Them pretty boys had them girls, spent their time flirting. All they wanted was some waves like they fucking surfing. Hold up, now don't get it twisted, I ain't hating, do your thing. I was like a young Simba, couldn't wait to be the king. Now a nigga is the prince. Hopped over the fence where the grass way greener. Look at Shawty ass, way meaner. Something like Serena mixed with Trina, have you seen her? She fine enough to be Miss Howard, word to Adina. My money like a senior, watch it graduate. Now it's time to eat, I'm letting all my niggas grab a plate. Gravitate the real shit, stay away from phonies. These niggas heard about me, now they acting like they know me. Keep on saying, where you going, nigga? Shit, it ain't no telling. Yeah. Hey, where you going, nigga? Hey, it ain't no telling. Yeah, they keep on saying, where you going, nigga? Hey, it ain't no telling. Yeah, can't tell you where I'm going. No, I won't stop. Goodbye to the bottom, hello to the top. Pardon the interruption, a proper introduction is necessary when your shit is legendary, man. Greedy niggas wouldn't let me in the cafeteria, cause they ain't believe, suddenly they Presbyterian. The hoes is librarians, they looking me up. She got a Jones like Marion, she licking me up. Then we cut, look how she say my name. I got a moaning J. Cole, they used to say Jermaine. I never changed, I'm like a corpse in a coffin, 6 feet, shit deep. I was low, just a dollar and some hope, fix me. Cause I was broke, plus the weed that I would smoke would make it worse. Lord, please let my problems disappear like Ron Mercer. I'm a star, converses, conversing with them girls with them curves like curses. They open like curtains cause my shit is unheard of like curses on the radio. Same bitches used to play me though, now they yelling, where you going, nigga? Shit, it ain't no telling. Yeah, hey, where you going, nigga? Shit, it ain't no telling. Yeah, they keep on saying, where you going, nigga? Going, nigga. It ain't no telling. Yeah, I can't tell you where I'm going. No, I won't stop. Goodbye to the bottom. Yeah, hello to the top. I left the city for a minute, but it's still on my back. Told my niggas, hey, I'm finna put the veil on the mat. I'll be back, and I'm coming with a deal in the plaque. Cause I'm ill, bitch, they couldn't make a pill for the rat. Pouring liquor for my niggas that was killed in the back. Came home, shit is real, niggas still in the trap. Hold up, now don't get it twisted. If you slain, do your thing. Me, I'm like a young Simba, I can't wait to be the king. Witness the drink, straight out that Carolina water. I was brought up in the city where the skinny niggas tryna be the ballers. Ain't no fathers but the skinny niggas tryna hit their daughters. Sneaking in the crib but a mama never caught us. What they taught us, man, them bad bitches only want the ballers, the starters. We hoopin' now the hoes wanna guard us. Okay, so play deep, know what I mean. And I put you on the team. Man, this life is but a dream. And I need a fast car, bad bras, fast forward, passport. I'm a fucking rap star. Hey, where you going, nigga? It ain't no telling. Yeah,
They say this life is but a dream. Well, I need a fast car, bad car, a fast forward, passport. I'm a fucking rap star. Hey, where you going, nigga? Yeah, it ain't no telling.